Our second lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning with verse 23. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. After Peter and John were released, they went to their own friends and reported everything the high priests and the elders had said. When they heard this, with one mind, they raised their voices to God and said, "Master, you are the God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. By the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, you said, 'Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed one. For certainly in this city both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did whatever your hand and your plan had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, look at their threats and give to your servants the ability to keep on speaking your word with all boldness as you stretch out your hand to heal and as signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' After they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. Also, everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again those words from our second lesson from Acts chapter 4. I'll read verse 31 again at this time. After they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. Also, everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, there are many things that we experience throughout our life that can shake us. It's shaking to hear news of tragedy that strikes another person. How much more shaking is it to be the recipient of that tragedy yourself? Such circumstances were in our text for many people today from Acts chapter 4. The apostles were living through just such circumstances. It was a time that you would expect that those apostles would be shaken, even so much that they might not even want to be apostles anymore. So much that they might not even want to be Christian anymore. It was that kind of shaking. But that's not the kind of shaking that took place. And why not? Because God, the Holy Spirit, was doing his own shaking in them instead. That Holy Spirit not only graced and blessed their lives, but he also graced and blessed their confidence in service to the one who had saved them from their sins. May God bless us today as we see his powerful work in the lives of his apostles, and we see that powerful work in our lives too, in the lives of his believers today, as we see the Holy Spirit filling us. To unite us in one mind, to fall before God in prayer, and to speak the word of God with boldness. Well, what was it that was so shaking in our text from Acts chapter 4? Peter and John had just performed a wonderful miracle. There was a man who had been lame from birth. He had never walked a day in his life. In fact, his friends carried him to the temple area every day so that he could beg there at the entrance for people to give him money. And Peter and John on that day did a miraculous healing for him, made him to stand up and walk, something he had never done. But instead of just giving him a handout like he begged for, they gave him the thing that he really needed most. And that was the message of the gospel. as a sign and a proof and a credence to the powerful gospel that they preached, they healed that lame man in the name of that Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a very famous, well-known response that Peter and John said to the man, "Silver and gold we do not have, but what we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." The man began to jump around in the temple courts praising God, and everyone saw it, and everybody recognized him as that man who day after day, year after year, sat outside that gate begging just for money. And now they began to believe in Jesus, in whose name this man was healed. Well, what's so shaking about that? Well, this was just a few short weeks, perhaps months, after something else very shaking had happened in Jerusalem. Those very same chief priests and elders, those leaders of that temple worship, and the leaders of the spiritual leaders of all the people of Israel, had just put that Jesus, in whose name Peter and John had done this wonderful miracle, had just put him to death. This is the beautiful gospel that Peter then preached. "You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus that has strengthened this man." That's some shaking stuff. We're told that people were cut to the heart just a little bit earlier on the day of Pentecost when they heard that message. To hear it again, for those Jews who had put Jesus to death, to be cut to the heart again, that shakes them. It's the kind of result the gospel preaching would have, everybody shaking. "We killed the Christ? We're in prison for preaching Christ? Jesus is the Christ who healed this man? This is the one by whom we're saved?" Many people were shaken by that message. But that's the message then that led to Peter and John being thrown in prison. So we pick up our text here the next day. Peter and John were released from prison. And where did they go? They went right back to the body of believers. Our text says, "After Peter and John were released, they went to their own friends and reported everything the high priests and the elders had said." Well, these people who had been shaken by this message of the gospel, what did they say? What did they tell Peter and John? This is what they said. They summoned Peter and John and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. That was the command. And that's what Peter and John then went back to report to those believers who were gathered there together. Peter and John obviously couldn't follow that command. They went back and told everything that had happened. What do you think they did, those people who heard that news about what had happened? You'd think they'd be shaken. You'd think they'd be terrified. You'd think that perhaps they would say, "We can't send them out again. Let's go to another place. We don't want to speak in this name of Jesus anymore because that could just bring more trouble." But that's not what they said. Instead, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were united in one mind. Everyone who heard that report had the exact same thinking in their head. They believed in Jesus. And that faith in Jesus to save them from their sins united them in a single purpose: to believe and to continue to preach the gospel. Friends, when tragedy strikes us, when trials hit so close to home, when we're tempted by hardship to doubt the love of God, the care of God, the control of God in all things, may the Holy Spirit fill us and unite us with one mind. May the Holy Spirit fill us with all confidence. May he grant us such faith as those believers there that day. First, to know God the Father, who loves us perfectly, that He has our best heart, our good in mind. Second, that Jesus is God's Son, who died and rose to save me from this life, to give me eternal life. And nothing can shake that unity of mind in Jesus. And finally, the Holy Spirit filling us up to believe this, to drive out the devil with his evil thoughts, his vile temptations, the doubts that he raises in our hearts about love and care of God. May that Holy Spirit unite us in that one mind as he fills us up with that wonderful gospel that Jesus has come to proclaim, risen from the dead, triumphant for us. May God bless you as you unite in one mind in the face of crosses that you carry. So with that united mind, what did those hearers, those believers who received that report from Peter and John do? The very first thing they did was to fall on their knees and pray. When they heard this, with one mind, they raised their voices to God. What do you think they prayed for? Lord, take this cross from us. Lord, you must have gotten this wrong. Stop those persecutors of your name, for the glory of your name. That's not what they prayed for. Instead, they acknowledged the power and the glory of God and his perfect and wise control over all things, especially for their salvation. May his name be ever praised. They prayed, make us bold to believe and to speak this gospel, even as we live it in our own lives. How instructive that is for us when it comes to prayer. Oftentimes we get the wrong impression that prayer is how we're going to shape God's will for our lives. We're going to tell God what we want, and then God is going to give us that. But really, just the opposite is true. In prayer, God shapes our will to be in conformity with His will and word. Look at how these believers prayed, and let that be a model for us in our prayers too. They prayed the word of God. They spoke to God of His glory, His name, and His good work and will and purpose, even as they acknowledged His control over all of it. They said, Master, you are the God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. By the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, you said, Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Look what happened. Jesus Christ died on the cross. But in their prayers, they acknowledged that was the will of God. That was exactly the design of God, even as he had spoken about in his word. They quoted Psalm 2, how the world rises up against the Lord and his Christ. And then they boldly identified the fulfillment of that scripture in the very real events that they themselves had witnessed, the suffering and crucifixion of Christ at the hands of Herod and Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel. But all of this, what was it? It wasn't the plots and plans of man. They were carrying out God's plans. They prayed. They did whatever your hand and your plan had decided beforehand should happen. They said, Lord, this was your good purpose and plan. And you carried it out to save us. Is that the way we pray? Look at God's word. See God's will for you recorded on those pages of Scripture. That His will is to save you. That His will is to take you to be with Him forever in heaven. because he died for you. And then he rose for you. That is God's good and gracious will, that all people be saved and to come to a knowledge of this truth. And so we pray, Lord, your will be done, even as we see your good and perfect will laid out in your holy word. So that teaches us about prayer, that a study of Scripture, that Bible study and Bible reading always must go hand in hand with Scripture. And then God bless us as His Holy Spirit fills us in that, as then He shapes the words of our prayers to pray His words after Him. And those glorious prayers that you raise to God, what a blessing as He hears and answers them. So what did they ask then at the end of the prayer? Again, did they ask to be delivered from the cross, to escape this trap of the devil, for those Jewish leaders to stop plotting against the Lord's anointed? No, they prayed to continue to speak the gospel truth with boldness. Now, Lord, look at their threats and give to your servants the ability to keep on speaking your word with all boldness. Not, Lord, stop their threats, but, Lord, see their threats and recognize the challenge, the trouble, the trial that we have in this life, but then shake us. Then move us, fill us with your Spirit so that we speak your word even more boldly, more courageously. How often is that our prayer? Isn't it more often, Lord, take this cup from us? Isn't it more often, Lord, keep this evil away from us? Yes, we're afraid. Our knees shake under the weight of the crosses that God presses into our flesh to carry, because we know we can't carry these burdens, these crosses. And the greatest crosses upon us are those very things, our own weakness and our sins. But we don't have to carry that cross. We don't have to carry that cross because Christ, the perfect prophet who came to proclaim the gospel to us, is also our perfect priest who came to sacrifice for those sins, who took the weight of that cross pressed into our flesh upon his own flesh and blood, and died for us to rescue us from that weight. That's the cross that Christ carried. But still, we crumble under the weight of the crosses that Jesus presses here upon us, even still today. But do we say, take it away? No, we pray, Lord, I am weak. Give me your strength. I am timid. Give me your courage. They prayed, now, Lord, look at the threats and give to your servants the ability to keep on speaking your word with all boldness as you stretch out your hand to heal and as signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Lord, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand to heal. This week we have seen that most magnificent and perfect hand of God stretched out to heal. On the one hand, to heal miraculously, profoundly, in a way that we could not imagine, by giving physical relief to a trouble, an illness in this life. And then, on the other hand, to see that same hand of God heal the most perfect way of all, by delivering a sinner from the flesh to take her home to be with Jesus forever in heaven. Sometimes we pray, Lord, that's not what we were asking for. That's not what we wanted. But Jesus did give us what we need. He gave us exactly what we need. He gave us perfect healing through Christ. He gave the wonder, the miracle of granting a sinner eternal life in heaven. He gave the powerful sign of baptism. by which he guarantees and promises eternal life. He's given that to each of us. And he gave his son to die that we might live. Through God's holy servant Jesus, we are holy. We are his children, now and forever. Look at the result of this prayer. The Holy Spirit shook those believers there, and God granted the very prayer that they prayed. They were strengthened. They were given strength that God's Holy Spirit alone could give to do what God had given them to do. After they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. Also, everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Exactly what they asked, according to God's word, God granted to them. Dear friends, we're shaken. We're hard-pressed on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are struck down. But as God's holy scriptures say, we are not crushed. We are not despairing. We are not forsaken. We are not destroyed. No, we continue to pray to God according to his perfect word and will. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And God does not disappoint. The Holy Spirit fills us to unite us in that one mind of faith in Jesus Christ, who came to give us not just life here on earth, but eternal life in heaven. And God's Holy Spirit fills us to unite in that one mind, to fall on our knees in prayer together to the God who is gracious and carries out his good will and purpose for us in our lives. And we join together, united in that one mind, filled with the Holy Spirit, to speak that gospel, that wonderful word of God, with boldness as we carry out that work that he has given us still to do in this life, to believe, and then to witness, and then to live for him who lived and died and rose again for us. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.